No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 6th day of March. Welcome, everyone. We are moving one day closer, walking through the Bible in chronological order. We will do it every day until we get through the entire Bible, and we'll do that together in this big, beautiful, global campfire. Today, we continue in the book of Numbers, and we're reading Numbers chapters 26 and 27. And this week, we are reading the Christian Standard Bible, Numbers chapter 26. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, "Take a census of the entire Israelite community by their ancestral families of those 20 years old or more who can serve in Israel's army." So Moses and the priest Eleazar said to them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho, "Take a census of those 20 years old or more, as the Lord had commanded Moses, and the Israelites who came out of the land of Egypt." Reuben was the firstborn of Israel. Reuben's descendants, the Hanukkite clan from Hanok, the Paluite clan from Palu, the Hezronite clan from Hezron, the Carmite clan from Carmi. These were the Reubenite clans, and their registered men numbered 43,730. The son of Palu was Eliab. The sons of Eliab were Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. It was Dathan and Abiram, chosen by the community, who fought against Moses and Aaron. They and Korah's followers fought against the Lord. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with Korah when his followers died, and the fire consumed 250 men. They serve as a warning sign. The sons of Korah, however, did not die. Simeon's descendants by their clans, the Numelite clan from Nemuel, the Jamanite clan from Jamin, the Jachinite clan from Jachin, the Zerahite clan from Zerah, the Shaulite clan from Shaul. These were the Simeonite clans, numbering 22,200 men. Gad's descendants by their clans, the Zephonite clan from Zephon, the Haggite clan from Haggai, the Shunite clan from Shunai, the Oznite clan from Ozni, the Erite clan from Eri, the Erudite clan from Arad, the Aralite clan from Arali. These were the Gadite clans, numbered by their registered men, 40,500. Judah's sons included Ur and Onan, but they died in the land of Canaan. Judah's descendants by their clans, the Shelonite clan from Shelah, the Perizzite clan from Perez, the Zerahite clan from Zerah, the descendants of Perez, the Hezronite clan from Hezron, the Hamulite clan from Hamul. These were Judah's clans, numbered by their registered men, 76,500. Issachar's descendants by their clans, the Tolaite clan from Tola, the Punite clan from Puva, the Jeshubite clan from Jashub, the Shimronite clan from Shimron. These were Issachar's clans, numbered by their registered men, 64,300. Zebulun's descendants by their clans, the Seredite clan from Sered, the Elonite clan from Elon, the Jaleelite clan from Jaleel. These were the Zebulunite clans, numbered by their registered men, 60,500. Joseph's descendants by their clans from Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh's descendants, the Machirite clan from Machir. Machir fathered Gilead, the Gileadite clan from Gilead. These were Gilead's descendants, the Iazurite clan from Iazur, the Helekite clan from Helek, the Esraelite clan from Esrael, the Shechemite clan from Shechem, the Shemadaite clan from Shemida, the Hepherite clan from Hepher. Zelophehad, son of Hepher, had no sons, only daughters. The names of Zelophehad's daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These were Manasseh's clans, numbered by their registered men, 52,700. These were Ephraim's descendants by their clans. The Shuthulahite clan from Shuthulah, the Bekerite clan from Bekur, the Tahanite clan from Tahan. These were Shuthelah's descendants, the Aranite clan from Aran. These were the Ephraimite clans, numbered by their registered men, 32,500. These were Joseph's descendants by their clans, Benjamin's descendants by their clans, the Belaite clan from Bela, the Ashbelite clan from Ashbel, the Haramite clan from Aharam, the Shufamite clan from Shufam, the Hufamite clan from Hufam, Bela's descendants from Ard and Naaman, the Ardite clan from Ard, the Naamite clan from Naaman. These were the Benjaminite clans, numbered by their registered men, 45,600. These were Dan's descendants by their clans. The Shuhamite clan from Shuham. These were the clans of Dan by their clans. All the Shuhamite clans numbered by their registered men, 64,400. Asher's descendants by their clans. The Imnite clan from Imnah. The Ishvite clan from Ishvi. The Berite clan from Beriah. From Beriah's descendants, the Heberite clan from Heber, the Malkielite clan from Malkiel, and the name of Asher's daughter was Sarah. These were the Asherite clans, numbered by their registered men, 53,400. Naphtali's descendants by their clans, the Jezeelite clan from Jezeel, the Gunite clan from Gunai, the Jezerite clan from Jezer, the Shillamite clan from Shillim. These were the Naphtali clans, numbered by their registered men, 45,400. These registered Israelite men numbered 601,730. The Lord spoke to Moses, "The land is to be divided among them as an inheritance based on the number of names. Increase the inheritance for a large tribe and decrease it for a small one. Each is to be given its inheritance according to those who are registered in it. The land is to be divided by lot. They will receive an inheritance according to the names of their ancestral tribes. Each inheritance will be divided by lot among the larger and smaller tribes." These were the Levites registered by their clans: the Gershonite clan from Gershon, the Kohathite clan from Kohath, the Merarite clan from Merari. These were the Levite family groups: the Libnite clan, the Hebronite clan, the Malite clan, the Mushite clan, and the Korahite clan. Kohath was the ancestor of Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, born to Levi in Egypt. She bore to Amram Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar were born to Aaron, but Nadab and Abihu died when they presented unauthorized fire before the Lord. Those registered were 23,000, every male 1 month old or more. They were not registered among the other Israelites because no inheritance was given to them among the Israelites. These were the ones registered by Moses and the priest Eleazar when they registered the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. But among them, there was not one of those who had been registered by Moses and the priest Aaron when they registered the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said to them that they would all die in the wilderness. None of them was left except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. The daughters of Zelophehad approached. Zelophehad was the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, from the clans of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. These were the names of his daughters: Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, the priest Eleazar, the leaders, and the entire community at the entrance to the tent of meeting and said, "Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not among Korah's followers who gathered together against the Lord. Instead, he died because of his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan? Since he had no son, give us property among our father's brothers." Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "What Zelophehad's daughters say is correct. You are to give them hereditary property among their father's brothers and transfer their father's inheritance to them. Tell the Israelites, when a man dies without having a son, transfer his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father has no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative of his clan, and he will take possession of it. This is to be a statutory ordinance for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain of the Abarim range and see the land that I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you will also be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was. When the community quarreled in the wilderness of Zin, both of you rebelled against my command to demonstrate my holiness in their sight at the waters. Those were the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin." So Moses appealed to the Lord. "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come back in before them, and who will bring them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's community won't be like sheep without a shepherd." The Lord replied to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Have him stand before the priest Eleazar and the whole community, and commission him in their sight. Confer some of your authority on him so that the entire Israelite community will obey him. He will stand before the priest Eleazar, who will consult the Lord for him with the decision of the Urim. He and all the Israelites with him, even the entire community, will go out and come back in at his command." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, had him stand before the priest Eleazar and the entire community, laid his hands on him, and commissioned him as the Lord had spoken through Moses. So the time has come in the story where we will have to part ways with Moses very soon. And it's amazing that in the stories of the Bible, we can really see the character of the leaders formed. And we can really start to bond in some small way with the leaders who are walking in integrity and righteousness and are obedient to the voice of God, who know his voice and follow him, despite what people are doing and despite what people are saying. But we do have to understand that we're at the end of Moses' life and leadership, as we read today. And we have to understand what he did that, I want to say, cost him the promised land. I guess cost him entering the promised land with the children of Israel, the people that he's leading. So let's understand that Moses is the leader of this entire group of people, and there are thousands of them now. He's held to a higher standard. He has been given grace and mercy and skills to lead these people that have frustrated him at times. But he has gone to God on their behalf when God was frustrated with them more than once and more than twice. And so we have to understand that God very specifically called Moses to go to the rock and to speak to the rock, and God would show mercy on the children of Israel, and water would come from the rock, and they would not be thirsty. But instead, Moses, in his frustration, spoke on behalf of God as if God was angry at them and asked them, what do we have to do? As if he and Aaron were the ones that were going to provide water from the rock. Obviously, it's God that provides the water for the people. And because of, I don't know how to accurately word what the actual thing was that Moses did, but maybe exalting himself and his brother Aaron to the place of God that he was capable of performing the miraculous that only God was going to do. Now, God still provided water to the children of Israel because there wasn't any and they would die without it. We know all living things need water to survive. But because of this, Moses was forbidden to enter the promised land with the children of Israel by leading them. And so we come to the nearing of Moses' life. And before that, Moses, in his kindness, in his leadership, in the integrity of his character, does not turn his back on God, does not anger himself with God, but in his care and concern for the people, he wants to know who is going to lead the people. And God speaks that Joshua will be the next leader, and Joshua will be the leader that leads the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, God, in his mercy, in his kindness, calls Moses to Mount Nebo to show him the land. And we were just there a few days ago, and I'm just telling you that the view is absolutely stunning, what you are able to see from there. Please understand that we are in Jordan, and we are seeing all the way across the Valley of Jordan, beyond the Dead Sea. It's either the Dead or the Red, the Dead Sea, I believe, and into Israel. The view is stunning, and I just loved imagining while I was up there everything that Moses might be seeing and what he might be feeling, and even this intimate moment with God where God is still gracious enough to show him. And I'm using my imagination to just think of a gracious God who lovingly shows Moses, this is where you have led the people. The journey has been long, and it has been great, and it has been hard. And obviously, I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm speaking on behalf of God in my imagination, but I choose to see it this way rather than a cruel God who's going, I want you to see what you're so close to, but you're not going to go into. Because there's this moment in the New Testament where Moses shows up with Jesus. And we will read that later this year, and it will come for full circle. But for now, I'm just imagining this view and this conversation, or maybe just the silent moment of reverence where Moses is taking in everything that is about to happen. and sort of taking a tally of the totality of the journey that he has led the people so beautifully. And it is a little bit sad when we have to say goodbye to leaders like Moses, who lead with humility and with integrity and character and fear and reverence of God. And then there's this beautiful moment of the transferring of leadership between Moses and Joshua. And that has us at the end of the reading today. So Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your compassion, your love, your grace. You are a God of justice, but you are God that shows us mercy. There are parts of the story, parts of the Bible that are hard to absorb. They're hard to digest sometimes unless we look beyond the surface. You are not angry, but you are faithful. You keep your word and you keep your promises, and your promises are true, but it is up to us to know the difference between your promises and your commands, that which you ask of us. May we be faithful to you in the same way that you are faithful to us. This is my prayer, and I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.